Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Right now you're listening to episode 1027 here at Gamertag Radio, and this is your host, Danny Pena. So yeah, we had our GTR after show, and it was so good that we're like, man, we should release this as an episode. So it was a very cool debate that I had with Paris, and I'm going to play it here on this episode. So you're not going to find this nowhere else, because that recording, for some strange reason, it got erased from Twitch. I don't know why. So yeah, I got erased, but the good thing is I recorded that episode, the GTR after show. So really, really cool debate. And I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about our discussion. Remember, guys, this is us just having a good time. It's nothing serious. All this is just quarantine talk, and we're just having fun. And I hope you like this. It's a great, great discussion. So just want to say that because a lot of people take things seriously, man. I know they're going to start emailing us or start posting crazy stuff on Twitter or posting a review just because they don't like our opinion. Remember, guys, it's a debate. We're just having a great time here on the podcast. So that's the thing that I like about our show. We don't agree. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, but it's a discussion that I think is great to just talk about it. And I hope you, listening from home, I hope you like it and enjoy this. And remember to send us emails or voicemails and let us know your opinion about this debate that we had about PlayStation. What's next with them? Are they confident about their product? Are they not? Because of the things that are going on with Xbox. So this discussion was before the Inside Xbox reveal. So I hope you like it. Enjoy it. And yeah, let us know your thoughts about it. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com and you can listen to our past episodes, binge, and listen a bunch of episodes if you want. Because we've been recording nonstop. We haven't taken a break this year. Zero breaks. Also, if you would like to be part of our discussion, want to be part of fan mail, you have questions and thoughts or comments, anything like that, you can send to us and be part on a future episode. And here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so before I play the recording, I would like to play this audio. This is like a quick fan mail from one of our listeners that sent this. And he actually watched the Xbox reveal that happened a couple days ago. So I'm going to play this right now, and I'm going to talk about it.
Hi, guys. It's Devin, Little Blue Alien. I hope you guys are well. I listened to your show about the Xbox game reveal. I just wanted to respond in context because I think my first voicemail didn't pick up a lot of the points you brought, which I thought were right. A lot of good titles, a lot of positive stuff in there. Totally agree with all that. But all the press surrounding this event was talking about gameplay, and that's not what we got. That's what I expected. That's why I anticipate. No, I don't follow all the Twitter feeds. So I'm not necessarily going to know that that's wrong. Went in to look at a lot of the games, plus Valhalla in particular. Didn't see the gameplay, very disappointed. That's what it was. So I'm one of the masses who were walking away from that pretty let down by the whole thing. Now, I know you guys were really positive about it. You gave them a B. My question is a B good enough at this stage? They are trying to build a brand around their new console. I think everything needs to be perfect. They need to take the time. They need to plan it out. They need to get the messaging right, and they need to be on the ball. Sony is watching, waiting, and planning. and they will take advantage of this. So regardless of the positives in it, is a B good enough? I don't think it is. I think Microsoft should take a step back, think about how they're going to conduct the rest of the year and see what happens. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Take care.
Well, Devin, I just want to say thank you for this voicemail. And I want to say this very quick because I think a lot of people are thinking like, okay, it's game over for Xbox. And I don't think so. You know, I really doubt it. But here's the thing. Yes, you're right about Sony. They got to see what happened with Xbox, and they could make it even better once they have their the reveal of PlayStation 5. Now, here's the thing that, to me, is more important. Because third party, remember, most of these games are also going to be available on PlayStation 5. So that's one. Number two, there's a couple there that's going to be exclusive for Xbox and also going to be available on Xbox Game Pass, which is cool. Like it. And I like the games that they showed on during the Inside Xbox. I think it was Inside Xbox, to me, was good. Was it perfect? No. There were certain things I didn't like. One is they need better microphones. Number two, I don't like the interviews that they have with the developers about the game. I think they should do that separately. I think Inside Xbox for this was supposed to be just show the trailers and back to back to back to back, and that's it, in my opinion. Similar to how it is with Nintendo Direct. Don't hype it up. None. Just mention how it is, and that's it. Don't say first look. Don't say gameplay. Don't say none of that, man, because people were expecting this to be some groundbreaking Inside Xbox, and nah, I don't think so. That's not it, man. But yes, it is Microsoft's fault and also Ubisoft's fault for promoting this as first gameplay. But here's something that a lot of us need to think about, man. What if, and this is a big what if, they would have showed Assassin's Creed gameplay. Let's say it would have been like a 5-6 minute footage of just strictly gameplay at the end of Inside Xbox. Do you think people will still be complaining about this? Think about it. Let's say Ubisoft showed it and it's the same trailers from Inside Xbox. Do you think people will be complaining about it? Maybe a lot will, not the majority. That's what I think. So yeah, that's what I think, man. And remember, the thing that Sony is going to have an advantage now is Sony could easily show a lot of their first-party games for the PlayStation 5 now in June. So they will be the first ones, right? Do I think they're going to announce the price? I don't think so. They're probably going to save that for later. But Sony could easily show first-party games. And, of course, third-party marketing games that's going to be there for the PS5. And then Xbox comes back in July and show their first party games, you know, so it's still early. Still early. Let's take it back to 2013. Do you remember May 2013 that Xbox showed Xbox One and it was all about TV at that time? People complained about that, which was a horrible, horrible press conference, right? And of course, the second showing was a little bit better. They showed actual games, but this is May. Typically, all those games will see it during E3, which we talked about that on a podcast. And all those games would have been buried once they show Halo and all these first-party games. And people are going to forget about games like Scorn, The Medium, and so on. People are not going to remember that, man. And that's the problem with E3, that there's so much announcements that a lot of these games will get pushed away from the spotlight, and others' game will shine. So it's not the end of Xbox, man. This is the first showing. Yes, they made mistakes. Yes, the marketing was exaggerated. I completely agree with that. But I think overall, the presentation when they showed was good. There was a bunch of games that I'm like, man, I can't wait to play this, man. I can't wait. And a lot of those games are also going to be available for PlayStation 5. So is the end of PlayStation 5 too? No, I don't think so, man. And we just got to wait for June and July to see why we should buy these consoles. Because if Xbox and PlayStation show games that it's not even worth it to buy the console now, then it's cool. Especially with Xbox, I could play Halo Infinite on my Xbox One. I don't have to buy an Xbox Series X. but they need, the company needs to convince me and others and show why I should get that console. Forget about the specs, because I'm not a specs guy. What I always say, it's about the game. Show us the games. The games, the content is the reason why we're going to buy that product, man. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Devin, was it perfect? No, but we're going to see a lot more announcements in the future all summer long. Actually, Xbox is going to be announcing stuff every month until launch. So that's a great thing. Look, man, here's the thing that I want to say. I think that Xbox has been doing a great job with the communication since 2016, communicating with the consumers and giving us updates on a bunch of things. And it's been phenomenal, especially when we got to see Xbox Series X for the first time during the video game, actually the Game Awards and the show Hellblade and so on. And remember this, if you go back to our interview with Phil Spencer, he said it himself that they're going to have some great announcements. There's going to be stuff that they're probably going to make mistakes throughout this journey all the way to launch, and they're going to learn from those mistakes and they're going to make it better.
We made the decision. The decision was actually really pushed forward by one of our marketing leads, and she's awesome. And she just stood up in a room and she said, we should go do something bold, something we've never done before. Let's face it. We're not in the market position we wanted to be in this last generation. I don't think we're going to get to disrupt and grow our business just doing what we've always done. Let's go try to do new things. And when she first brought the idea up to me, and I talked with Major about this a little bit on his podcast, you know, mm-hmm. Honestly, I wasn't the biggest fan. I was like, well, there's going to be a lot of other games there, and we've never launched an Xbox in a way that was going to work. But it was, yeah. You know, Jeff has done a really good job building a great platform in the Game Awards that gets tens of millions of viewers, and it's global. And we said, let's go do it. The thing that really made it work, though, I thought was the work that the team did around the videos, the video assets that we had. And I'd say both for Hellblade and for Series X, I thought both of them back to back really, really played well. And it was cool to do it. And it was, I think the response has been great. But to be completely honest with you, I could be sitting here today and it could have been a disaster, right? You have to make those decisions. And you make them without all the knowledge of how is it going to play out. I like trying something bold. I'm really happy with the way and the way it played out and the response from the fans. But every decision we make between now and launch, you know, we're trying to think about things in a different way. And some of them will get right and some of them we won't. But we're definitely not going to be meek. Like, we're going to be bold in what we're trying to go do.
The thing that I like about Xbox now, especially now, is they made a mistake, what you were saying, right? And Aaron admitted, he said, hey, we messed up. We completely messed up. I know Ubisoft been doing the same. They did the same exact thing. And that's the thing that I like, man. Engage with your audience, with your consumers, with your fans. If you make a mistake, take all the feedback from everyone and make it better for next time, man. They still have time. It's still early. We're in May. There's going to be plenty of other opportunities for Xbox to shine, man, and also PlayStation. You know, PlayStation, look, man, that GDC thing, that was not that great. Some people liked it. The majority was kind of bored about it, you know. I bet you Sony are going to make changes, learn from those mistakes, and during the reveal, it's going to be 10 times better, man. That's what it should be, man. Typically, a lot of these companies don't even bother talking to the consumers online. If they messed up, they messed up and they move on. That's it. They don't even talk about it. But it's good to see the interaction that I got to see, especially with Aaron Greenberg, one of the execs, the head of marketing. He admitted it in a couple hours after Inside Xbox. That's awesome that he admitted that right away. And I think we should take a chill pill, send us the feedback, send the feedback to them, and let's see for next time. Now, I do want to say this. Sony is going to take advantage of that moment and they're going to make it better. I'm telling you right now, people are going to be talking about it, everything. And I just hope to God that they don't mess up. Show us the games, get us hype, and tell us why we should buy a PlayStation 5. You know what I'm saying? So this was going to happen. The rumor is PlayStation is going to have their next reveal sometime in June. I think Jason Schreier mentioned that on Bloomberg and also his podcast. So then Xbox is also going to have not an inside Xbox, but they're going to have an announcement, which most likely will be on Xbox Wire, about platforms and services. So most likely we're going to hear more about Xbox Game Pass and also Project S Cloud. And who knows if they will mention anything about platform. We're going to hear something about Lockhart. We don't know. We'll find out. Prices? No. Save that for July, my opinion. So then in July from Xbox, we're going to hear first party. All first party. So remember too, if you got to see the tweets from Jeff Keighley and the Summer Game Fest, there's going to be announcements from now all the way to August. So there's going to be tons of news all this summer long, which is pretty cool because as a content creator, we're going to have a lot of discussions. We're going to have a lot more content typically during the summer. It's dead after E3 for a while. You know, we also take breaks and so on. So I see us busy this summer, man. It's going to be different than our previous years of the type of content we released from E3. This is going to be totally, totally different, man. So I'm excited for the future. I think it's pretty cool. We'll see. But yeah, just want to mention that very quick. Thank you, Devin, for sending us this voicemail. And that's the type of content I want to get, man, from you, the listeners, man. A lot of you have been sending a lot of questions about all type of things, but sometimes questions we already talked about it, and I feel like it doesn't make sense for us to talk about it again with your voicemails. So if you have different type of questions, stuff that we've never talked about, send us those questions and we'll definitely will play on our podcast. So please keep it up. We have a lot of voicemails, but a lot of those we already answered on the podcast, so it just doesn't make sense for us to do it, play it again here, you know. All right, so let's play this GTR after show debate that I had with Paris. And this is a great, great discussion about PlayStation. Do you think PlayStation have confidence? Yes or no? Here, let me hear your thoughts. Hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. And we'll be right back. And enjoy the show.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I love having debates, clearly. I love, you know, you let's put it this way. Danny and I argue way more on the phone than we do on the podcast because I'm like, dude, that's insane. What are you talking about? We go back and forth in this life. Well, I love that stuff. But dude, I'm not going to argue on Twitter about nonsense. If you want to have an intelligent discussion, I'm down. I love that. I absolutely love that. I love when my opinion is challenged and I have to justify it, of course.
You know, I've been doing this for so long. You know, people are going to agree with me. People are not going to agree with me at all, which is fine. But it's my opinion and I'm going to stick with that until the day I die, yo. I might be wrong with certain things. That's fine. I'll admit it. But I'm not going to change my opinion just because there's people that don't agree with it. You know, Paris, there's going to be people that love your opinion and hates mine, which is fine. It's cool. But this is the beauty about the podcast. When you have everybody that have the same opinion in every episode,
it's boring.
Everybody's saying yes, yes, yes. It's boring. It's boring. But I tell you this. When you have different opinions, that interaction, it will make people to interact with us. And they'll say, I saw with Danny, I saw with Paris, I saw with Pete. That's why I've been saying this since day one, man. When you create a podcast or even a YouTube video or something, and you have a co-host, make sure you have somebody that you don't agree with. It will create great conversations. It will create great debates. Not only between the co-hosts, but also from the listeners, from the viewers, the community. I love that. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's all good, man. people are not going to agree with me, man, at all. But it's not going to change. It's not going to change me at all, man. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So
no, and nor should it.
This crazy stuff I mentioned to Paris, and Paris looked at me like, "Yo, you nuts."
Yeah, but I say it all the time. I'm like, "That's insane." But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but look, like I'll stick with it. It's not me trying to create clickbaits or anything like that. It's just that's my opinion, man.
Well, we'll see. But that's the whole point, though, Danny. It's like, dude, we just like to have fun. I love to be I give you a perfect example. Remember, I had sent you the one thing, you had tweeted something, and then I screenshot it and sent it to you privately because I knew if I said that in public, people would have taken it the wrong way and would have been silly. So I was like, I got to just say this to you privately. I can't even joke around with you like that in public anymore, you know? And that sucks. That sucks that we can't just have fun with stuff because everything has to be criticized and overlooked and you're doing this and you're not fair to this and you're blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, at the end of the day, we're all adults. Yeah. Look, I do this because I love to do it. I'm not trying to make any money out of it. We just like to have fun. I love to analyze the gaming industry and to try and understand it and to see where things go. That's why I put the funny tweet out about Red Dead, you know, and all I said was, and think about it. If you look at that Red Dead tweet, all I said was Red Dead comes out May 7th on Game Pass. Microsoft is having an event on May 7th. And then I did the drinking tea emoji, right? Dude, if you go in the mentions, it's freaking chaos. Some people love it. Some people are saying I'm a freaking moron and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what did I say? I'm leaving it up to you to take out of it what you want. Right. And that's it. You can't even do that anymore. So I don't know. It sounds like I'm just bitching right now, but I'm not leaving Twitter or anything, but it just is what it is.
No. But my question to those that responded to you like that, what happened if it's true? What happened if it's true that something happens because of that tweet that you said that you posted, Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to make you like, is that a bad thing? Please tell me, how's that a bad thing? There's an announcement. So I hope there is for all those people that have been bragging, talking crap to you and all this stuff on Twitter. I hope it makes them feel look stupid, man. You know? So, you know what I'm saying? So I hope it happens.
I do too. And by the way, I even forgot to say this. I kind of called it with the Assassin's Creed thing and the Microsoft event. I was off by 2 days. I literally went on record on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I say they're going to tease Assassin's Creed, and then the next day they're going to announce an Xbox event with full gameplay for May 5th. That's what I said, and it wound up being May 7th. I was close.
Well, there's one part that hasn't happened yet. Ubisoft didn't announce that they were showing their stuff next week.
Yes, they did.
This week.
They did. Yes. Same day. They tweeted it. They tweeted it out. They said they're excited to show gameplay at the event.
Oh, snap. I didn't know that. Oh, I missed that. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Let me pull up their Twitter account. Yeah. I'm going to tell you exactly what they said.
That's cool. I didn't know that. But yeah, you were off by 2 days. But hey, it was close enough, man. That's good. That's really good. Yeah.
Hold on. Where is it? Because I know they said it. Okay, here we go. We will be happy to reveal our first Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay trailer during the first look Xbox Series X gameplay on Inside Xbox. Stay tuned. There you go.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. If you watch the trailer that they show of the game at the end of the trailer, what is it that you see there? Xbox One, Xbox Series X, all Xbox logos at the end. So they have a marketing deal for that game, and it's going to be available for Xbox Series X. There you go. I think the game comes out October, and then smart delivery in November.
And that's the big thing because we'll probably talk about this again on another episode. Excuse me, because we got voicemails about it. But just real quick with the smart delivery thing. So, I don't know what Sony's going to call it. I don't know what PlayStation's going to call it, but PlayStation has to do the same thing. They have to. There is no way. I don't care how they're delivering it to you, whatever. But as an example, there is no way you can have Assassin's Creed Valhalla come out on PlayStation 4 and then ask customers who then upgrade to a PlayStation 5 to buy the game again or charge them some kind of fee to upgrade to whatever the PlayStation 5 version is. It's not going to happen. You cannot do that when your competition is doing the opposite and saying buy it once and you're good. That's, to me, this is where the competition comes in, and this helps us, the gamer, because I'm not even saying PlayStation was planning to do that. I'm just saying that they won't do it because their competitor isn't, and they're using it as a marketing tool. So they literally coined the phrase smart delivery, where all it is they're basically just saying, take that game that you bought, that digital license that you got, or the physical copy that you got, when you put it into your Series X, it is going to allow you to get the quote unquote enhanced version downloaded onto your Series X. So the same thing just has to happen for the PlayStation 5. That's all smart delivery really is.
Yeah. No. Again, what if? What happens if Sony doesn't have that?
See, these are the phone conversations we're having, because I'll say this. I'm like, there's no way they can do it. And did Danny be like, well, what if they didn't? And I'm like, dude, they're not doing that.
Yeah. But Papari, we don't know.
In this instance, you're right. We don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't know.
What if, like, right if now, they didn't do it? Just,
yeah.
Marketing disaster for them. Marketing disaster.
Put it this way. This will be the, remember when we were at the press conference and they showed the video of like the sharing? They're passing the game to each other, like, hey, this is how you share. Pass the physical game to each other. Remember that? Cars that acquire went nuts.
Yep.
This is going to be version 2.0 from PlayStation if they don't have that feature. Because here's the thing that our friend Tony Polanco posted on Twitter, because I think that was the conversation about bringing games from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. And I quote, Sony says something, the majority of PlayStation 4 games is going to be available for PlayStation 5. I don't like that. I do not like that at all. Why can't be all PlayStation 4 games is going to be available for PlayStation 5? Why has to be the majority? That's not good. That to me means that they don't have smart delivery for next gen, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, there's clearly something on the development side that isn't going to allow them to just easily, because you're talking more backwards compatibility is what you're talking right now. The fact that PlayStation hasn't guaranteed 100% backwards compatibility to the PlayStation 4 for PlayStation 5 games. I would guess by the time Cerny or whoever talks about this, the next time that they have a presentation in June, you're going to hear 100% backwards compatibility for PlayStation 4, because again, it's your competition has already guaranteed it. So they got to do it too. But to answer your original question on the, what if there's no smart delivery or some version of it to where they're charging you that you have to go buy the PlayStation 5 version of these cross-generational games. I mean, it's going to be seen as anti-consumer. It's going to be seen as anti-gamer, and it'll be 2013 in reverse, like you said, for sure. But again, I cannot see that happening. No way. Even if from an architecture standpoint, they can't just you put your PlayStation 4 disc in and it'll just download the PlayStation 5 assets. Even if it's not as simple as that, they'll figure out some voucher code. They'll do something to where you're going to have that PlayStation 5 version. And it's not going to cost you money. Ultimately, that's all that really matters.
Now, my question to you, do you think Sony was surprised with that smart delivery announcement?
Yes. You want to know why? Because they don't have their own version of it, because they're not talking about it. But the fact that CD Projekt Red could not talk about having a PlayStation 5 version of smart delivery ready to go tells me no. The fact that Assassin's Creed isn't talking about it tells me they didn't have it ready to go. They don't have a marketing name for it yet. That's what that tells me. Because think about it. Again, it's competition. They're not going to let Xbox own this right now and not have a counter to it. If they had a counter to smart delivery, they would have said, don't worry, PlayStation fans. We have, I don't even know what you would call it, sense vision. I don't know. They would call it something, and they would have it ready to go, you know?
Yeah. Yo, I have a feeling that I think Xbox has some surprises that we don't know yet that we might hear about it not the first event, but I think the second event that is going to surprise Sony again. I think so.
Well, and we're doing like a second episode now. I probably should stop. But
but
again, that's part of why them allegedly holding off until July lets them see what Sony does first, and then they can counteract it. Again, it's a game of chess. Yeah. It's absolutely a game of chess. If, again, pretend if PlayStation is truly having an event in June and Microsoft is having their big event in July, how much does Sony want to reveal first? Because clearly Microsoft is setting it up so that they can react to whatever Sony says. So does PlayStation announce the price? I say no.
You think they'll wait till August to Gamescom and then announce games and show the console? Yep.
I didn't say Gamescom. I just said they'll wait. You're saying Gamescom.
I think Gamescom. I mean, come on, Paris. Come on. They're gonna start. There's gonna be people that's gonna pre-order the system right there on the spot. All right, so we're gonna take a short break from our debate. Trust me, the conversation is gonna continue and it's gonna get better. It's gonna get better. Can't wait to hear your thoughts about this. So, but first, it's time for our sponsor. Go, Paris.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Gamertag Radio. And with COVID-19, I hope everyone out there is staying safe. But let's get a word from our sponsor, Keeps. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? And in my case, that happened by the time I was age 22. But the best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it with the hair that you have left. Get treated from home. You used to have to go to a doctor's office to get your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to the pharmacy checkout lines and social distancing. Keep offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you're probably not getting them at this price. Prevention is the key. Keeps treatments take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. God forbid if they had this back in 95. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competition, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 per month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. So again, guys, you know, we talk about the male pattern baldness. I'm bald as a bat. But if you are still experiencing some hair loss and you want to do something about it, go check out our special offer. You can go to keeps.com. That is keeps.com/GTR to receive your first month of treatment for free. Again, that is keeps.com/GTR. And I want to thank Keeps for being a sponsor of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
If my memory serves me correct, didn't Xbox not say the price of the 360 until Gamescom? Is that crazy?
I think it was to Gamescom.
I'm going to look that up, but go talk, because I think they actually held off for the 360 till Gamescom, but go ahead.
Yeah. This is the conversation I brought up with Paris, and please, those that are watching on Twitch, please let me know if I'm just wrong. But back in 2013, I feel like Sony was confident than ever. They did?
August 17th, 2005 is when they announced the price.
Okay, so Sony could do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Back in 2013, Sony, in my opinion, I feel like they were more confident about the console. They talked about it back in February of 2013. They had their own press conference, media in New York City. Everything, the crowd went nuts. then E3, they show more games and they announce the price, everything, right? I don't feel like the confidence is there. I know there's going to be people that are going to buy the system and they want, even if it's $599, people are still going to buy because that's how strong the brand is, man. That name, PlayStation, is big no matter what, no matter what they do. Perfect example, when PlayStation 3 came out, that thing was $599 and people actually went in line and actually bought the console when it came out. So just want to mention that very quick. But I feel like showing an image of a controller and having that boring GDC specs thing that's not for everyone, that's for like a very small group of people that are going to like that stuff, to me, doesn't show confidence. When you have,
you know, I disagree with you on this. You know, I disagree with you on this. Okay,
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
But this is this is an opinion, and this is my opinion. This is how I feel. I feel like there was more confidence during the PlayStation 4 days, like the early days of PlayStation 4, and there was even more confident when Xbox announced $499, and you go to the Sony press conference, they were like, yo, they were high-fiving behind the scenes, yo, $399, yo, the crown went nuts. That to me is confidence, yo. Confidence, Paris. I have never seen a company that's been so vocal and so transparent, like just talking about what's coming next for months. I've never seen that ever. Ever. Nintendo's in another world. Nintendo doesn't really give Xbox or PlayStation, but I don't know. I might be wrong. Who knows? Maybe I'll feel stupid once they announce the console and everything and the price, but I don't know. Please tell me if I'm wrong, man.
Please. I think you are. I think you are because you have to take into account, mm-hmm. excuse me, COVID.
Yeah.
It wrecked their reveal plans. Because again, that Cerny talk was meant for developers at GDC. It was not meant for public consumption. They clearly felt they needed to put out some information, which is why they did. The DualSense mm-hmm. controller allegedly was shown because they were fearful of leaks because they started sending out marketing material and things like that. So they were like, let's get out ahead of this and show it now. They had a plan to reveal the PlayStation 5. You know, just because Microsoft went outside the box with the way that they're doing it this time doesn't mean that PlayStation all of a sudden lacks confidence in their system. Again, showing the freaking logo set records for views, right? Just showing the
because
logo.
Of the name. So, yeah.
Again. Yeah. But this is why I'm telling you, it's not that they lack confidence. It's they had their own plan to reveal their console on their time. You can't just because Microsoft is like, we got to be big and bold and do something now means that the other one is not confident because they're not doing the same thing. They are sitting in a position of leadership in the industry, whereas Microsoft is trying to gain market share. So you have to do something radical to try and you know, get more people to put eyeballs on your product and your services. Whereas PlayStation can just show a logo. They can just show a screenshot of a controller and it sets record views, right? So to me, that's not a lack of confidence. That's okay, Microsoft, do whatever you're going to do. Because guess what? When we do show the games, when we do show our console, when we do have it at a lower price than what you're going to have your hardware at, we're still going to be the leaders. I've said this to you for the last couple of years. PlayStation has done absolutely nothing to change the narrative of them being the market leader. They will continue. This is why I was saying they're not going to do nothing crazy with PlayStation now. None of that. They don't have to. They have the games, they have the IPs, they have the confidence of the consumer. So why would you change anything that you've done? There's no reason to. So I highly disagree with you when you say they lack confidence. Right. I just think if anything, it shows even more confidence. And stop interrupting me because I didn't interrupt you at all. It shows even more confidence by them saying nothing because they don't have to. That's the point. Now, go ahead. I allow you to retort.
Now, the conversation we've been having, and I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you think Sony is worried about announcing their price? If they're confident, they could have done that a long time ago. If they want, like, they don't have to worry about about whatever Xbox is doing. Is the company worried about announcing the price? Yes or no? In your opinion.
Well, now recounting, are we going by the rumors?
Yes.
The rumors say they are.
Yeah.
Because...
Okay.
Because they originally wanted that PlayStation 5 to come in at $399, and it's clear the manufacturing costs are not going to allow that, which, again, the rumors say this is why they're going to not have as many PlayStation 5s out in the market during the holiday, because they want to kind of wait until manufacturing prices go down so that they can then start mass producing PlayStation 5s at a cheaper cost. This also tells me this. It's probably $450, because if they were going to just say, screw it, it's $500, they wouldn't limit the supply chain. They wouldn't limit the amount of PlayStation 5s that are out there. They're going to try and have that thing at $450, because they know Microsoft more than likely cannot get that Series X down to $450 without taking a huge loss, just looking at the specs alone. So I don't think it's, they lack confidence to say the price. I think the current market has forced them to say, let's hold on to this as long as possible to see if something changes before we, because I think they want $399 personally, but if they have to go $450, they will. And even at $450, they're going to come in under the Series X. That's my opinion.
Okay. My second question to you is, if it's $450, then you think Lockhart will be announced, and it's going to be how much? $299. And Xbox Series X, $499.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, if Sony was so confident, they wouldn't even care about none. They would have showed videos that was another thing. They haven't even showed the console.
Well, technically,
pause. February 2013, we got to see
They didn't show the console until June.
Are you sure?
You're in the bathroom, so you missed it. They showed the PlayStation 4 at the E3 press conference in 2013.
Hey, I had to go to the bathroom. I drank a lot that day.
I'm just saying. At the Sony party. I'm just telling you. You said they didn't show it then. So again, we're in May. They've done nothing different other than the fact that they didn't have the February event where they basically already did it in the Wired magazine. It's no different.
I know. I feel like the company's waiting for Xbox before they show anything. In my opinion, that's how I feel. It feels like they're responding to Xbox. That controller, yes, you said that.
I love how you're just saying they're responding, but you've yet to just say why.
What do you mean, why? What do you mean? I've just mentioned it a bunch of times already, Paris. I feel like they're not confident, in my opinion.
But why are they not confident?
Paris.
See, these are phone conversations, by the way. We do this all the time.
We do this all the time. No, I just feel like... I feel like Xbox learned from their mistakes.
Kevin, Microsoft is not controlling Sony's. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the chat. Microsoft is not controlling Sony's messaging. Once again, ridiculous comment. There's zero proof in that. Because Microsoft is doing something out of the ordinary, now all of a sudden they're controlling the messaging. It's a ridiculous comment. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think, in my opinion,
the moves that Sony has been doing, and again, I might be wrong next month or now, this month, who knows? I might be wrong, but I feel like Sony is more responding to Xbox than Sony taking the lead and be like, you know what? We don't care. We're here. In my opinion, let me finish. And here's one thing that I mentioned to Paris, and Paris says, no, that's not going to happen. Xbox Live Gold. There was no Xbox Live Gold back in the days, right? So, you either play online or don't play online. You have to subscribe to Xbox Live, right? Xbox had to change their service because Sony forced them to change it. Because now Sony is saying to people, you can sign to PlayStation Plus, play online, Oh, and not only that, we're going to give you 2 free games every month. So Xbox was not doing that back in the days at all. So I mentioned to Paris, and Paris said, hell no, that's not going to happen. I feel now that you see the numbers of Xbox Game Pass still growing even more. Now there's 10 million. Back in October 2019, Sony announced that they have 1 million subscribers for PlayStation Now. I think because of this deal that Sony has with Microsoft to use their servers to make the service even better, I think in the future, Sony is going to say, hey, you know what? That's extra money for us. Let's have our first-party games available on day one to the service. Not now. I'm not saying it's going to happen now, launch. But I tell you this, in a couple years, I see this happening. Paris says it's not going to happen. I see this happening. I see this happening because it's yo, Paris, the company, Microsoft alone, with gaming division and all their services, made $10 billion in earnings. If you look at Sony right now, the only division that's making money right now is the gaming division. TV is not making money how it used to. There's too much competition. Phones, forget it. Tablets, forget it. There's nothing really happening with Sony, and it's only with the gaming division. I think this is going to force them to make that change and get more money for the company. And you're saying no. I think it's going to happen in a couple of years. You're going to see God of War 2 day one on PlayStation Now.
Okay.
Day one.
Yeah, like, and that's it. Are you done? Okay. Now, and I'm going to respectfully say to you, look dead in the camera as I say this, you have lost your mind. Now, I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In a couple years, has Sony lost market share? Yes or no?
From PlayStation or
from
just
where they are right now? From PlayStation. I didn't mean Sony. Has PlayStation lost market share?
No.
Are they still the leader?
But here's the thing.
Hold on. In 2 years, is PlayStation still the leader?
Can I answer that question?
I know. I just want to clarify. Okay. But please, go ahead.
Okay. They're doing good. Now, in 2020 and 2019, they're doing good.
That is not what I asked you.
I said 3 years.
In 3 years. So in 2023, is PlayStation still the leader in the gaming market?
Of course. I didn't say no. Of course.
Okay. Now. That's all I needed to hear because I get to retort. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You're right. Because again.
Yes, I am.
Look, I got to grab the mic on this one. Why would PlayStation all of a sudden go chase a subscription service when their current model is still working of buying hardware and buying games at $60 each? Why would they change that? Why? Just because Xbox is doing Game Pass, they have to react to something that has not affected their market share. They're going to just do it. They're going to just all of a sudden they're going to put Spider-Man 2 and Horizon Zero Dawn 2 and all the rest on PlayStation Now subscription service just because, when nothing for them has changed. That's what you're saying to me. That's it.
You want me to answer?
I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Paris, at the end of the day, more money for Sony, man, is more money for the company. Now, here's the thing. For those that have PlayStation 4 right now.
How so?
Whoa. Let me finish. For those that are watching and has a PlayStation 4 and are also deciding they're going to get a PlayStation 5, if Sony in the future says PlayStation Now, first party, day one on our service, starting whatever, $9.99 a month, whatever. Those in the chat, will you subscribe to PlayStation Now? Yes or no? Please tell me in the chat.
That has nothing to do with this.
Paris, it's more money for the company, man. It's not that they're struggling. My question to you, why Sony made that deal with Microsoft? Because it's beyond gaming. Of course, it's about movies,
doing the servers, you know, the, all that stuff that they're using now, because they don't have the infrastructure worldwide to do what Microsoft is doing, and also Google and Amazon, right? There's a reason why they're doing that. There's a reason why Sony's doing that. It's not because, okay, we just want to do it for movies and that's it, and make a better service for places now. It's beyond that, Paris. It's more money for the company, man. Plus, they have to pay Microsoft for that. Why would they do that? It doesn't make sense. Why would they do it? If they're the leader, why would they do that?
You're not answering my question. You've yet to answer my question.
I did.
How is PlayStation, again, PlayStation's still the market leader.
They're making more money.
PlayStation's still the market leader. They're selling PlayStation 5s. You can't find one. They're flying off the shelves. All their exclusive IPs, people are still buying them. So they still have the majority of consoles in the market are PlayStations, right? But because the second place guy has a subscription service that people seem to like, hey, I know, let's just completely wreck the model that has worked since 2013 to be disruptive for no reason. They're going to do that. No, they're not. They are not. That is not happening. And it does not make them more money, because they're still making money, because they obviously still have a high attach rate of games to console. So how is that different? Because again, remember Game Pass now. Game Pass means, again, if you're a dedicated Game Pass person and you don't buy any other games, you're giving Microsoft $120 a year. If the average person is buying 3 to 4 PlayStation games a year, that is more money. If you go backwards and now all of a sudden I'm doing PlayStation Now at $10 a month, that's $120. So again,
you know companies make more money with subscription, Paris, than buying one game. You do know that, right?
I literally just told you the attach rate. I just said attach rate. I just said attach rate.
Oh, attach! I know
the attach rate. The attach rate of Game Pass is 2 games a year, $120. If PlayStation has 3 to 4 games a year attach rate, you're going backwards in with a subscription service. Why would you do that? Again, their market share has not changed. This is now, if they start losing money, if all of a sudden Microsoft is caught up and all that, I get what you're saying. My whole point was, as it stands today, there is zero sign that the PlayStation model is not going to work in the next generation. Zero. So why would they all of a sudden disrupt it for no reason?
Can I ask you a question? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. How much did Sony acquire that streaming service that they had?
Gaikai. That was 10 years ago at this point.
How much? Okay. How much was it?
I don't know. Probably peanuts compared to what it would be now.
Look it up. Don't curse at me. Yeah. Look it up. And please tell me, Paris, Mr. Crystal Ball Paris, Miss Leo, please tell me how much was it that
You don't want to argue this one. You don't want to know how much.
I don't want to know how much they spent for it.
It was in 2012. It was in 2012 and it was for $380 million.
Oh, that's a lot of money. Now,
and not really. Not today. It's not. It's peanuts.
Second. It's an investment. It's not peanuts.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
Eight years ago. Okay. So you really think they're still worried about a $380 million investment from 8 years ago that now all of a sudden they're going to disrupt their entire business strategy? Because, hey, we got Gaikai in 2012 for $380 million. All right, we got to put God of War 3 on there. We need it. They're not doing that.
Let me continue. So if PlayStation Now is doing so good, Paris, it's great, right? Why did Sony decide to have now the games downloadable instead of streaming? Why they made that change, Paris? If it's so good, if they're doing so good with the company, why they did that?
Because nobody was using PlayStation Now and it was failing.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they made that change. They made that change and it made the subscription service even better. And now people signing up.
Not really.
Now they have a million. Not really. Oh, wait. They have a million now, And I think based on making those changes and they see the positive feedback from everybody, the company is going to start making more changes to get more people to subscribe because that's more money for the company. It's not that Sony's struggling. I'm not saying that. I've never said that.
Okay.
What I said is that when you make those changes, it will make the consumers support it, not only buy the console, buy their games, but also be part of the service. That's more money for the company. Why would Sony say no about that, Paris? Why would they invest for that servers, man?
Okay.
Why?
Okay. Hey, I'm going to pull a Trump. Are you ready?
Go.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Are you ready?
Go for it. Go
ahead. I'm dying laughing. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Go. Okay. Go.
So.
Yeah.
So, PlayStation Now has been around since 2012, right? Or they acquired it in 2012.
No, actually, they acquired it, but it's when was it available for PlayStation 3? Was it after?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's been around, let's just say around 2013, 2014, PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
Game Pass has been around since what, 2017? Right? That seemed about right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know as of this week, Game Pass is 10 million people, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we agree with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we agree.
We also know from an article a few months ago, PlayStation Now only just crossed the million mark, right?
Yeah.
Right? We agree on this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One has 10 million, one has 1 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the current market leader?
Paris, I know you're going
to answer the question. Answer the question. Who's the market leader?
Let me answer.
No, because I'm not done. I am not done. Okay. So the market leader is Sony, right? The market leader is Sony.
Yeah.
So the market leader that only has 1 million on their subscription service is still outpacing second place 2-1 who has 10 million on their subscription service. So again, I ask the question, why in 2023 would they all of a sudden start putting all their first party titles on a subscription service that no one's subscribing to and they're still the leader? They have no incentive to do so.
So you know what, Sony, this message is for you, Sony. Shut down PlayStation Now. What is the purpose? You're the leader. You're the number one. You're number one. You're making so much money with all these hardware. Why are you investing your money on streaming? For what? It's a waste of money. There you go. Paris is right.
It's a waste of money.
There you go.
Are you ready?
There you go.
Are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
Because cloud streaming has a purpose. Absolutely. I am not sitting here saying that Sony in the future wise is not going to invest in cloud gaming, because of course we see obviously Microsoft's doing it, Google's doing it, Amazon's doing it. PlayStation clearly realizes they don't have the infrastructure to compete, so they went to their competitor with Azure to be able to do that. But that has nothing to do with them saying, when you get God of War 3, we're going to give it to you as a part of a PlayStation Now subscription. No, they're going to do this, because this is where I think PlayStation Now evolves into. They're going to still say, oh, no, you buy God of War 3 for $60. You're going to give us that money. We'll let you stream it after you buy it. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to all of a sudden say, every PlayStation consumer out there, we're just giving you God of War as a part of PlayStation Now. They're not doing that. No freaking way. And I also think the same as the Series X allows you, because technically PlayStation is already doing this. But the same way you can stream from your console, you're going to be able to stream from your PlayStation 5, all your brand new games. But if you want to use our cloud service, we'll charge you and let you do that too. It's just another service. That's what they're doing. But if you really think they're going to completely disrupt their business model and make all of their first part exclusive games day and date a part of PlayStation Now, you're smoking dope. They're not doing that. There you go.
First of all, I don't smoke drugs. I don't use drugs.
Well, you must be. You think they're doing that?
At this moment, I'm just saying truth, man, in my opinion. But here's what I think. No, and you're right at this part. I think that Xbox Series X and PlayStation Now, when you buy a game and it's downloading or it's installing in the background, you could play those games right away instantly because of the servers. You stream it a while it's downloading and is installing in the background. And instead of waiting 40 minutes or 30 minutes for the games to get installed, that's what I think. So yeah, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. But I think it's beyond that, Paris. I think it's beyond that. And let me ask you this question. And I hope to God, you, whoever's watching this, please capture all these clips and download it and save this, because when Sony makes those changes, Paris, I want you on camera to be like, you know what? Danny was right. If I'm wrong, I'll go on camera and be like, you know what? Paris is right. Deal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Look, I have no problem admitting
it. Shut it down, Sony.
I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, okay? But I will argue my point until I am wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't agree with you at all. I think you're crazy.
Okay. I think you're crazy. I think you're just stuck in 2013 and not evolving.
Well, guess who else is stuck in 2013? PlayStation, because it's fucking worked since 2013. So why would they change it? This is the point I'm trying to make to you. They have no reason to change anything that they've been doing the past 7 years. Zero.
Man, you know what? So are you trying to say the consumers are dumb for supporting the same tradition?
Of course not.
Paris?
But it works.
Okay. It works.
Again,
it's the same thing with Nintendo.
I said this 2 weeks ago. You better bet your sweet black ass that when the PlayStation 5 comes out, I'm going to get it because I want to play God of War. I want to play Spider-Man. I want to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to play Uncharted on down the list. So if that's the model that I have to follow to be able to play their games, it has already been proven that consumers are willing to invest into that model and continue to do it. Now, and this is where I will swing it back and give you some love on what you've been saying.
If
Xbox comes out in July, Phil Spencer in his house with his bad microphone, just skinning and grinning and showing a roadmap of banging games, banging exclusive games. And he looks in that camera and he goes, all available on Game Pass, and winks. And all of a sudden, subscriptions are flying off the roof and Series X's and S's and L's and Z's and every damn thing else are flying off the shelves. And now Microsoft is the market leader. And we're like, wow, Xbox has made a complete turnaround. PlayStation, they got to do something. They got to disrupt. They got to do something to change it up. That's when you see radical decisions like that happen. And now all of a sudden the PlayStation exclusive lineup shows up day and date on PlayStation Now. It shows up day and date on PC, things like that, because now they're in chase mode. They're not chasing anything. They're the leader. So until you give them a reason to go, Xbox is doing all this stuff because they're chasing PlayStation, not the other way around. And that's the whole point I'm trying to make to you. When you're the leader, you don't rock the boat until you're given a reason to rock the boat. And right now, PlayStation has no reason to rock the boat. It is up to Microsoft to force them to change. And yeah, we already know. I love Game Pass. I love everything that they're doing. I hope, Danny, I'm wrong. And I hope you're right, because that means Xbox has done something very right and they've disrupted the industry. And at the end of the day, we're the ones that win, because now we're going to get more options to play all our games. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. I never said that it's going to happen launch, like day one. I'm not saying when PlayStation 5 comes out, all these changes are going to happen. I'm not saying that. I said it's going to happen in a couple of years based on the success of Xbox Game Pass. I think that's the reason why it's going to happen. And right now, we don't see it. Right now, the majority of you don't see it. But if this continues and it's bringing more money for the company, I'm telling you, man, Sony's going to do the same exact thing, even if they're number one, because that's more money for the company. And I even asked a question about how many people will subscribe. And a lot of people said, yeah, who in their right minds is not going to subscribe and rather just buy a $59.99 game? If you could play those same games from the service on day one, I prefer using the service.
But again, that's where Sony,
you know what I'm saying?
But that's where PlayStation, I can't even talk. That's where Xbox has to force them into that situation to where people are like, I like all these games Xbox having, and I'm just giving them, I'm a Game Pass sub. I'm good. Why am I buying these PlayStation games? I'll wait a few years until they show up on PlayStation Now or something like that. Then now you're having a different conversation. But again, it's all competition driven. If Microsoft truly has this banging gaming lineup that just disrupts the industry because we're like, holy shit, look at all these games that are coming from Xbox. I got to play them all. That changes the conversation. And they're on Game Pass. Wow. I'm in, you know, that I agree with you.
Now here's a company that we haven't mentioned at all. Do you think Nintendo will do it in the future?
Sorry, I'm reading the chat, but say that again, because I'm going to answer the chat thing too. But say it again, I'm sorry.
Do you think that Nintendo would do this in the future?
Hell no.
If they see...
Hell no, because it goes back to exactly what I'm saying. We're dumb enough to keep buying Nintendo games. They've been selling the same damn games for 30 years and we keep rebuying them. So why would they? There's no point to them doing it. But the chat's saying one thing, Lethal Migraine, I think that's how you say his name. He's saying Sony is poor, Sony's cheap, Sony can't afford to give away games at launch or the infrastructure to join Xbox, which I agree to a point. Microsoft is worth 10 times the amount of Sony. And I agree. They can't afford to take big losses up front. And he's 100% correct. He or she is 100% correct. They don't have the infrastructure to compete on the services side with what Xbox is doing, which is a reason they're going to Azure, you know, as an example for PlayStation Now. So that I do agree with, which is, again, is another example of why I'm saying they're struggling with the price, because they can't take too big of a loss on the PlayStation 5 up front. And if they are taking a loss up front, this is why they're limiting the manufacturing for the first year until manufacturing costs go down, so that they're not losing so much money. I agree with him on that. And this, again, is the reason why I'm telling you they're not going to make a drastic move to all of a sudden put their whole first party lineup in PlayStation Now until they have no choice but to do so. And right now they have no incentive to do so. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree with this part. Sony is not poor. I don't know about where that came from.
They're poor in the sense of they're competing against Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. They're poor when you look at it in that sense. Like, someone could probably look at me and say, Parrish, you're not poor, but you put me up against Bill Gates, I'm dead broke. Right? You see what I'm saying? You got to look at it that way.
What about Nintendo? Do you see that company as also the same situation? Poor like that?
Well, let's put it this way. Microsoft could buy Nintendo if they wanted to. You have to think of it that way.
Yeah,
if Sony or Nintendo were for sale, Microsoft could buy them. Think of it that way.
I don't, you know, that far you're right, but yeah, I think so. Now, Nintendo's going to let that happen? It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. They're making so much money, man, with their games and the hardware, and now with this whole Universal Studios theme park. Yeah, it's going to make the company even bigger, man.
This is our phone conversations. Freaking hilarious. We have these conversations all the time. But see, again, this is the point when we originally started all this, is saying we can't do this on Twitter anymore because people would think we're dead serious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but it's just having fun. We just like to have fun. Because at the end of the day, I think we want them both to do great. And of course, as a consumer, I would love to see PlayStation Now do something like that. I just don't think they will. You know, and I like to argue my point, and Danny likes to argue his point. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And what the hell is this, man? Can we move on to another conversation? This is the same console war argument. I don't see this in a console war argument.
Who said that?
I don't see that.
Where you say that at?
Darrett. And he said, Danny doesn't seem to be making a point. Yes, I made my point.
Oh,
I
you're scrolling you back up in the chat. Opinion. Oh, I thought someone said it just now.
But to say that this is not a console war. This is more a consumer friendly conversation, because we all win when a company forces another company to make changes. Yep, it has nothing to do with console wars.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, it's not a console war
No, but I'm saying, what I'm saying, you might not agree, but how's that a bad thing if Sony makes that change? If that happens, you know, like,
yeah, as a consumer, it's great.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And
that's it. Episode 1027 is over. Thank you so much for listening. This is GTR After Show. We usually do this on Twitch right after our live recording. This was so good. I was like, man, I had to play this on the podcast. So here it is, man. But yes, we're going to be back. We're going to have more content. We're going to have special guests in the future. We have a couple coming up that I've been working on. And I'm just going to leave it as that. All right. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is search for GamerTag Radio. And we're there. Just subscribe, follow us, or even post your review if you like this. Give us a 5 stars, man. Come on. You could do this. It only takes like a minute or two. Come on. You got this. If you also would like to be part of fan mail, like Devin, he sent us a voicemail, right? This is how you can contact us and be part of fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
That's about it. Just want to say thank you for everybody listening to GTR episode 1027. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.